So today is our eighth lesson, our ninth week of class, because we had prayer week last week, but our eighth lesson on Be Not Anxious. And today I want to do a very brief review, and then I want to jump into our topic. I'm excited about our topic today. I felt like it was very timely for the holidays. It's called Fighting FOMO, which stands for Fear of Missing Out, in case you didn't know. And so I just wanted to go back over the premise that I've set for how we're going to get down the pathway of getting set free from fear. We're going to come to Jesus. Come. And then we're going to do my new favorite word, ask. Right? And then we're going to listen. And we're going to trust that Jesus is going to take all the words we've been sitting in his scripture, or he's going to take a principle or a truth, something about him, maybe one of his names, whatever, and he's going to disclose that to us by his Holy Spirit. He's going to give us his revelation, and we're going to have our spiritual ears will hear it. Our spiritual eyes will see it. That's our breakthrough moment, okay? It's when we have that knowing, when we know it. And then when that happens, what happens is bonding. That's that fellowship that Jesus invites us to. He says, you know, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will come in, will invite me in, well, then I'll fellowship with him and him with me. So bonding happens when we have this kind of time with him. That's where we get that great oxytocin fix that does all that healing work in our brains and remaps painful memories. And trust happens. That's what we're doing, is we're building that emotional safety with Jesus through this bonding process. And then we have the follow through. So we have the breakthrough that happens when we spend time with the Lord and he gives us revelation about what's true. And then the follow through is our walk of faith. And so that's a big part of what I feel like discipleship is. It's given us a lot of ways that can look. What does it look like? That's the reason we tell stories. That's the reason we share around the circle. Well, this is what it looks like on Carrie. Well, this is what it looks like on Dawson. This is what it looks like on Stephanie. This y'all get to hear every week what it looks like on Kathy, just because I am the person that got called to stand up here. But, you know, it just, I feel like that is a really important aspect of what we do. We're not just here to learn information. We're here to apply what the Bible says. And so that's our walk of faith. That's our follow through. And we're just always looking for a new strategy. Last week we talked about triggers from the past. We said it's very important to, if we can put a name to it, if we can identify where it got in through a memory, if we can put a name to it. We talked about binding and loosing specific spirits. Like if you know you've got a spirit of fear, well, you've got the verse to go with it. I think it's been on the paper about 5 out of 8 times, which was 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he has given you power and love and a sound mind. So you can say, I bind a spirit of fear in Jesus' name, and I loose a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know that spirit is the Holy Spirit. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is the unholy spirit. You got the Holy Spirit, so you can say with confidence, I have the resurrection power of Jesus living in me. It says in Romans 8:11, my birthday verse. And it says in the verse we read earlier, he has delivered me. He is delivering me, and he will yet deliver me, 2 Corinthians 1:10. So we can say with confidence that we have power, that we know that we have his love, and that we have a sound mind because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. We have the mind of Christ, it says in taught a whole year on this, y'all. It is in 1 Corinthians 2:16. So that would be an example of binding and loosing. And we hopefully used some of that in your prayer times last week. If you didn't get a chance to meet with your leader, please take advantage of our break to get with her. She would be glad to get with you to pray if you would desire that. Our goal is not just that somebody else pray for you. I mean, that's powerful. Jesus tells us to pray for one another. But it's also one of the reasons we do this is so that you can learn how to do this for yourselves. You can do listening prayer at home, you know, and you can bind and loose at home. But sometimes it helps to have some people come alongside you, and that kind of gets you in the groove of thinking, oh, I can yell. Oh, I can say that. Oh, I can sing that. Oh, I can get my rope out and cut that. I can, you know, do. We had a funeral. We had lots of things at my house on last Tuesday. So I'm all about, you know, doing something that I can sort of fix in my mind that gives me a moment in time that I can mark down. So if you want any creative ideas, I've got more ideas than I've got time or resources, but I'd be glad to help with that. So I wanted to also let you know the last week's tool and technique, the blue page, ditch it. It's wrong. I have had a bad error on there. We've replaced it and renamed it this week, and I'm going to talk from it just a little bit. So if you didn't get it, you know, get it when you go out, because you may have thought, oh, I already have that. Well, this is different because I had a really bad typo on there. So it's called Tool and Technique, Elevation, Appropriation, and Articulation. And so we're going to be talking about some of those and trying it out on our topic. So I've been waiting for this all year long to talk about FOMO. And so I wanted to introduce this. This tactic is old as humanity. Think about Eve. How did Satan tempt her? You mean God said you couldn't eat of this? Oh, she thought she was missing out on something good. And then look where it got her, y'all. FOMO got Eve and put us in the situation where we're in. Abraham and Sarah did the same thing. They got ahead of God. They felt like they were missing out on that baby. So they figured out how to get Ishmael. And that's been a problem. The children of Israel were tired of waiting on Moses going up to get the law or the Ten Commandments from God. And so they made a golden calf instead, which was not a good thing. So FOMO can lead us in a lot of places that we don't want to go. And it's something that is rooted in our desires. Human beings have legitimate desires inside of us. God made us to have safety. He made us to have love. He made us to feel secure or safe, secure, and loved. And I'm sorry, you can write the word significant on there. Those would be the three, I think, according to Henry Cloud is my source on that. And I've been quoting him on that for so long, I did not credit him on your paper. But love, security, and significance. And those are legitimate needs. And Jesus tells us in John 10:10, and this is the New Living Version of that, that the thief, our enemy, the devil, his purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose, Jesus said, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I love that. Talked about satisfaction some in our group time this morning. And everybody wants to feel satisfied, don't they? And we will go to all kinds of lengths to feel satisfied. And that is what gets a foothold for us with this FOMO deal. Because we want to meet those needs in an illegitimate way oftentimes. And let me give you, I gave you a long list of times when we're vulnerable to FOMO. When you feel under pressure, when you feel unfulfilled in some basic need, you like, for example, I don't feel appreciated. Well, so then you go do something to make yourself feel good. You feel like you're no fear of missing out on that appreciation. You're going to go do something and get it for yourself. When you're fatigued in any category, whether that be mental, emotional, or physical, when you're in process, you know that thing of how you're in the middle and you hadn't gotten to the other side and you know you're going and you know there's no going back. Yeah, that's a time when FOMO can catch you. I've got some promises. I've got a lot of promises fulfilled, but I got a lot of promises I'm waiting on. And sometimes when we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, we can get caught in fear of missing out. Sometimes I wrote it this way, God's economy is not adding up for us. You know, like you can read the Bible and you can say, well, if God is good and if God is love and if God loves me unconditionally and if God has made this promise and if, then why is everything just like this? That's just not adding up for me. That is a time when you beware that FOMO can come in. Comparison is a huge doorway for FOMO.
everybody else is doing it. Everybody else got to do. Everybody else, you know.
Since where is it written that you get to go someplace on every Monday off from school? I used to get, that trips me up every time. I'm thinking, we don't plan a long weekend. Everybody else does. Well, y'all, that's just not the truth. But I, you know, I fell for it. Okay, so when we're tempted to compromise or take a shortcut, that is a FOMO moment. Watch out. And the holidays, I couldn't resist that because they are close on our heels. Because, okay, here we go. We have got a merit-based, capitalistic consumer world that we live in. Y'all, the world is not, I mean, the world is just different. And it says in the, also in 1 Corinthians 2 that we don't have the spirit of the world. And there's a place in fact, Jesus' last prayer in John 17, the high priestly prayer, he talks about they're in the world, but they're not of the world. Y'all, that's a tension. That is a place we have to reconcile. Because if we don't understand that we're not of this world, then we're going to be susceptible to FOMO. And so all these vulnerable places, I'm just going to give you this verse one more time. The devil and the world, they're looking for ways to catch us. 1 Peter 5:8, and this is from The Voice, says, "Be disciplined and stay on guard. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around outside like a roaring lion, just waiting and hoping for the chance to devour someone." Okay, so I'm going to tell you what this looks like, a very tiny example of it on me. So we've started, you know where Target is, like three doors down from the church. So I was going to tell you way more than you need to know, but my husband is the trash Nazi, okay? So just something for you to know and love about Bob Giordo. He will go through the trash after I cook and get the cans out. You know, like I do recycle almost everything, but peanut butter and tomato paste, baby, I don't do those. He will go behind me, and he recycles. Okay, they pick up cardboard. They pick up plastic. They don't pick up glass anymore, in case y'all didn't know. They don't pick up grocery bags. So he has separate bins for all recyclable items, electronics. You know, he was very chapped that the Avondale recycle place is now only open on Thursday. I mean, we're going to write a letter to the mayor or something about this. Okay, so anyway, how this applies to Target and FOMO, I think he's fear of missing out recycling. I'm sorry, Bob. Anyway, so the reason we go to Target on Sunday is not to purchase anything. It is to recycle glass. In case you want to take your glass, go to Target. Well, they know that because they take glass, you're going to go inside because, you know, you need eggs, you need a bar of soap. You're going to need something, right? So I happen to need something to take over to my mom's. And it was like one of those things where you would buy one of them for $2.99, but if you bought four of them, you could get it for $1.99. And it's like, I'm walking out of there with four boxes of cereal and thinking, why did I just buy for one little tiny woman four boxes of cereal? I needed one box of cereal. Why? So I could, because I was afraid I was going to miss out on that sale. That's why. Fear of missing out. I'm just telling you guys, it's going to catch you. Watch it. And I had to quit subscribing to all those emails about, you know, I would get on every good store's email list so I'd know when the sales were. Y'all, I'm telling you, that's a trap. You need to unsubscribe because you think, oh, that's such a good deal. I don't want to miss it. End up with a lot of stuff that you don't need. Okay, so anyway, that's just the kind of the light side of FOMO. But Jesus, you know what? Here's the cool thing. Jesus experienced FOMO. I'm about to give you an example in the Bible. First, I'm going to tell you that he conquered it, and because of that, we have help. Hebrews 2:18 says, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So he will come to our aid and remind us of the truth of what we really need to be satisfied, which is him. And let's look at this example where Satan came to tempt him. He didn't succumb to it, but he did have the temptation in Luke 4. It says, I'll just read you four verses from this longer passage of his temptation. And basically what Satan's trying to do when he comes with his fear of missing out is he's trying to thwart God's best plan for your life. He's trying to get you to settle for your own plan. He's trying to get you to settle for the world's plan. He's trying to get you off the path, because God's fulfillment, here's just the truth, y'all. God's fulfillment doesn't always feel comfortable. I've walked with the Lord long enough to know that he mostly he's going to press me toward growth. He's going to press me toward stretching. He's going to press me toward reaching higher, a bar that's higher, that's too high for me. He's going to press me toward living a life that's too big for me. Y'all, that's a good thing. I prayed that prayer a long time ago. Lord, I want to live a life that's too big for me, that can't be explained in human terms. You know what comes with that? That's a great prayer. And I feel like I've had the opportunity to experience that in a lot of ways, a lot of answered prayers, doing things I never dreamed I'd do, experience kingdom fruit in a lot of kingdom ways that I never would have experienced had I not asked and prayed and wanted that. But it has meant a lot of uncomfortable growth moments where you just think, really, God, this is so awkward. This is so uncomfortable. This is so scary. But you've got to, you know, that's where the decision comes in, is what do you want more? Do you want that deeply satisfying moment of realizing, oh my gosh, I walk with and serve and am loved by the God of the universe? Only He could do this. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have done it. This was all Jesus, and I know it. Wow, that's majesty. That's glory. So Jesus knew this well. And so here, let's look at his story. It says in Luke 4, 5 through 8, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours.' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Okay, so one note about this passage is this was right after Jesus was baptized. Remember, the heavens opened up and God spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." You would think, okay, marketing people, this is our moment. We're going to go for the ministry push right now. We've got this great press. We've got the notice of everybody. This is our, you know, 15 seconds of, you know, opportunity. Let's really push forward, disciples. Come on, let's mount up. Go to all your key people and let's... No. What did God do? He sent Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days to fast and pray. Not the world's way, is it? No, God knew what Jesus needed for his mission and God's best plan for him. And he knew he needed time alone with him. And so Jesus did three things, three strategies that I feel like are really great, that he just speaks in this very short answer to Satan. First of all, he started with, "It is written." And since this is a Bible study, I think we can say, y'all, we need to use the ammunition that God's given us in his word. And we've got a lot of great verses that we've been looking at. And just kind of referring to how to use some of them, from our tools and techniques. I have them here on your hand, on your outline today. Elevation, that word is an action noun and it means a lifting up. So what we want to do with the words that God has written, whatever word pertains to your situation, if you're thinking like, I feel impoverished compared to my neighbor. They have this, 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 and I've only got this. Well, we want to lift up what it is we have been given. We want to lift up the truth of our inheritance in Christ. We want to lift up the fact that he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus would be a great verse to put with that. That's Ephesians 4:19. So we want to elevate what God says is true above how we're feeling. That's that "I feel, but God says" exercise. And Jesus did that. He did that when Satan tempted him with all the kingdoms of the world. He said, "It is written, Satan." He quoted from the book of Deuteronomy, "Man does not live by bread alone," when he tempted him with food. "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's true for us as well. Jesus could have said, I feel hungry. But that's not what he said. He could have said, I've made up my own little, you know, articulation phrase here. I feel hungry, but my Father says my life is sustained by the words he has spoken to me. So that would be my paraphrase of Deuteronomy 8:3 or that Luke 4 reference. So we want to articulate it. That's one way. Articulation is one more way to get the information from our head down into our hearts. It's by speaking. Not just know it in your head, but start making it a part of your speech. It's the act or the process of speaking or expressing in words. I love this passage. It's the first time I've ever seen this passage in Psalm 116, and it's 9 and 10 from that chapter and from the Passion Translation. It says, even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. That's one way to grow in faith, is by speaking words of faith. Put your mouth where your heart is. And we know you have a mustard seed of faith. So the most effective way to articulate is to identify what you're feeling. What's the main feeling you're feeling? And then second of all, you're going to go search for verses. You got a concordance in the back of your Bible. You've got a Bible search engine like Bible Gateway or Crosswalk. Or you may have a promise book. You can just type in. I mean, I've learned this. You can get on Google and just say verses about insecurity, verses about loneliness, verses about materialism, whatever you're struggling with. Type it in, and I can promise you Bible Hub or somebody is going to have already made you the 23 greatest verses on loneliness, the 37 greatest verses on materialism. I mean, it's out there. Somebody's already done the work for you. So I think that's an important thing to do, and then follow through by speaking these words. So when you feel in bondage to fear, I just can't seem to shake this FOMO. I can't seem to shake this fear of the unknown. I can't seem to shake this fear of the future. I can't seem to shake this fear of inadequacy. You can say, I am free. You can get that song out that we sang and sing, I am free. And let me give you one more verse to go with that, Romans 6, 6 and 7. And I've given it to you in the New Living. It says, we are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Y'all, we are free. We are free. That doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly. That doesn't mean we're going to obey perfectly. That doesn't mean we're going to feel it every time. But positionally in heaven, we are free. And we are being delivered, even at this moment, as we sit under the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we will yet be delivered, because God's not finished with us. Another verse that I found that I thought would be really powerful, when you're feeling left out or like you're missing out on God's goodness and you feel like everybody else is getting their prayer answered, everybody else is getting their breakthrough, everybody else is getting whatever it is you're longing for, Psalm 68, 5 and 6 says this, God is father to the fatherless, defender of widows. This is God whose dwelling is holy. God places the lonely in families. How many times I have prayed that? I just can't even tell you. For my children, he sets the prisoners free and gives them joy, but he makes the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. So we don't want to be rebellious people who push God's word away and say, that's not true because I am lonely. Well, yeah, I feel lonely, but God is my father. So you can say some of these statements. I gave you a little help here. Let's say FOMO is your fear. You feel left out or you feel like you're missing out. You can say, well, God is my father and I'm a member of his body. So that means you do have siblings. You have siblings. You have sisters in this room. The Lord has set me free from fear. You can say that based on Romans 6, 6 and 7. And you can say it based on 2 Corinthians 1:10. FOMO has no power over me, and I can have joy because it's a fruit of the Spirit living within me. All those are scriptural statements. You can say those things instead of saying, I just feel tired. That is not going to help your feelings. If you notice when you start speaking that kind of negative stuff, what happens to your insides? It just goes right down the hole with it, doesn't it? So if you'll speak words of faith, faith will start to grow and spring up in your life. And then appropriation means to make one's own, and we've talked about that. But what I just want to say about appropriating something that you want to be true of you, it takes repetition, it takes practice for you to really, really believe it and operate in it as if it's yours. I mean, to own it. I'm saying, you know how you can say somebody owns the room, or they're really feeling comfortable in their own skin or something like that. For you to really feel comfortable in these truths, you've got to kind of marinate in them. You've got to practice them. You've got to speak them. You've got to pray them. And so I would just say continue asking and continue working to believe. That's your job. Basically, those are very, very easy. They're childlike kind of things. And we're going to talk about that in just a second. So our first strategy is it is written. And I do want to just reinforce that God will answer you when you ask. But remember this, 1 Corinthians 2:9, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't make it up. We can't dream it up. We can't put a preconceived picture on what it's going to look like. You never can. You never can predict what it's going to look like or when it's going to happen. But just know this, God is true. It's impossible for him to lie, and it will happen. So just think of that as exciting. It's like a good surprise. And then when Jesus used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, as his weapon against Satan, it tells us there at the end of that passage in verse 13 that Satan left for a more opportune time. In other words, he got turned away at the door. Three times he was out. Strike three, he just decided, it's not worth my time. So that was our first strategy. Our second one is to worship the Lord. And that word worship is proskuneo, and it means to prostrate, as you can kind of hear from the similar sound of that, or to bow down. And what it suggests is a reverential fear that, you know, like if Jesus were to walk in the room right now, what would you be doing? I'd probably be hitting the dirt, you know, and just be going, oh, you know, just in a good way. I mean, it would just be because of his glory and his holiness. We would be just, I mean, you wouldn't have to think about it. I'm sure you would hit the dirt and bow. But y'all, unfortunately, because we're human beings with very potent passions and desires, we tend to do that. We tend to bow down before other things. And I loved this quote that I found when I was studying this. It says, fear first made gods in the world. Fear first made gods in the world. And that was written back in, the first century, if I'm remembering my source correctly. But so another way to say that is to go, okay, what am I afraid of? If I can identify what it is I fear, then I can probably identify what it is I'm worshiping. What is rivaling God for my worship? What are my idols? That's another way to look at it. Okay, and I just cut and pasted a portion of this little excerpt from the connection.net. And for example, I love this one. Some folk are afraid of getting fat or wrinkled. Their idol is beauty. Guilty as charged. I mean, you know, who in our society does not have that as a little tiny G God idol? Some folks are afraid of becoming a burden to others. Their idol is autonomy, or you might say independence. Some are afraid of losing their partner or children. Their idol is family. I mean, those are very common fears. So it tells you that what that's telling you is that there's some idolatry there. You've placed a higher value on those gifts than on the giver, created things than on the creator. So we want to be aware of that. So what's the antidote to those? Well, it's fear of the Lord. And I love this verse. I've loved it for a lot of years that talks about what is the fear of the Lord? Isaiah 33:6 tells us, he will be the sure foundation of your time for your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. And so let me give you the R.C. Sproul definition or quote about the fear of the Lord. It's like a child who has a fear or an anxiety of offending the one he loves, not because he's afraid of torture or even punishment, but rather because he's afraid of displeasing the one who is, in that child's world, the source of security and love. I thought that was a really sweet way to put it. Fear of the Lord is that childlike fear of displeasing God because he loves you and because you love him. And that does speak to that realizing and that knowing that my legitimate needs for security and significance and love are only fully met in him. And that's a way to fight FOMO. Thanksgiving, in the true biblical sense of the word, I had to have that since we got Thanksgiving next week. Let's talk about what's true Thanksgiving, what's biblical Thanksgiving. You know, God, we talked about this a little bit about, quote, giving thanks in all things last time. This time I want to talk about Thanksgiving, about putting our heart, our mind, our attention on the goodness and the faithfulness of God and his attributes. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Make that true of me, Jesus. I want to appropriate that one right now. Psalm 71:6-7, this is also from the Passion, says, it was you, God, who supported me from the day I was born, loving me, helping me through my life's journey. You made me into a miracle. No wonder I trust you and praise you forever. Many marvel at my success, but I know it is all because of you, my mighty protector. So that is a way of thanking God. That's the thing we can sit around and think, what's happened this year in my life that might be just a little miracle that is a truly something that you could only attribute to God? What has God done that that you could point to and say, wow, that was the goodness of God right there in my family, right there in my own personal journey? That's Thanksgiving. And then just tell that back to him. It's especially courageous. It's especially pleasing to God. It's especially faithful and brave to give God thanks when your circumstances aren't matching. When I do that, I think the reason God asks us to give him thanks in all things is this, because we're telling ourselves that. I do this for myself because I know God doesn't need my thanks. He doesn't need my affirmation. I need to give it to him. I need to be reminded of who he is. I need to cultivate a grateful heart instead of being focused on everything that's wrong. And I'm also serving notice to fear. I'm putting fear on fear. I'm putting shame on shame. I'm putting intimidation on intimidation. I'm letting the enemy know, hey, you know what? I'm going to praise God whether this is going my way at this time or not. It's a very powerful tool, y'all. It's a strategy that wins every time. And it's what it is doing is abiding in the truth. John 8:31-32, another freedom verse says, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word. And let's just stop right there. I know y'all have heard me say this before, some of you have. But that word abide means live in, dwell. If you abide in my word, not if you just know that's in the Bible, not if you just heard that on Sunday morning, but if you really think about it, elevate it above how you're feeling, articulate it in your speech, appropriate it in your prayers, thank God for it, and believe that he's going to make it the truth. If you abide in it, then you are my disciples indeed, because you're hearing God's word and you're putting it into practice. And you shall know the truth, that deep experiential knowing that we've talked about, and the truth shall make you free. So see that? It's that process mentality that we want to cultivate. And so if you'll start with thanksgiving, enter his gates with thanksgiving, it says in Psalm 100. I think that's Psalm 100. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Start with thanksgiving. That will make your heart more pliable and open before him if you can focus on what he's already done for you and who he is. That you might start with the name of God, or you might just start with something he's done that you're grateful for. I got up this morning and I was off. I've been kind of off since this new time. I've been waking up way too early and I don't like the way that feels. And then just about the time I go back to sleep, then I've had some weird dream and then I'm not ready to get up because I was just now cruising and it's time to get up, you know. So I got up this morning and I had been having this weird dream and I felt, honestly, I felt that sense of just a harassing spirit. I didn't feel peaceful and joyful when I got up. I felt just, ugh. And I was just laying there in bed, and I was thirsty, and I could barely move my lips, and I said, I bind a spirit of fear in Jesus' name, just like that. And I know Bob was thinking, what is she doing over there? And I'm saying, I'm binding and loosing, buddy. So I just barely eked that out. And then I got up, and I went to the coffee pot, and I still kind of felt that same thing. So I got in the bathroom, and I cranked my music up. And I started singing our playlist for today. And then I felt, it eased up a little bit, but I still felt like, I feel off. I don't feel joyful. I don't feel peaceful. I don't feel the fruits of the Spirit. I'm still feeling off. So I went into my prayer closet, and I played some more music and prayed. And there was a song that says, When I Don't Know What to Do, it's the name of the song. It's called On My Knees. It's a great song by Dennis Jernigan. And he talks about when I don't know what to do, when I don't know where to stand, when life feels like sinking sand, what does he need to do? He needs to get on his knees. And so that's what I did. I just started praying. And I just started saying, God, I thank you that I'm free. I thank you that I have peace. I thank you that I have joy because I have the Holy Spirit. And pretty soon, by the time I kind of got it all up and out, I was kind of thinking, okay, whatever was on me is off of me, and I'm in the flow. But I kind of had to work hard for it this morning. Just for what it's worth, I just want y'all to know that sometimes happens, that the enemy is seeking for an opportune moment. He is saying, oh, the time's changing. This girl's sleep is off, and she has a sleep idol. And so, therefore, I can just get right on in there because she's got fear of missing out on sleep. So you see what happens? He's tricky like that. So you try that in your personal time with Jesus. I wanted to give you this quote. Those who have been nourished in his presence have discovered that he sits on a throne, and in the midst of the crazy things that go on in this fallen world, he, not the devil, declares what must take place. He reigns, and he is infinitely brilliant, wise, and good. If he is Lord and if he is good, then we can, by faith, bless the Lord at all times. Chuck Jones said that, and I thought that was excellent. So let's bless the Lord at all times. And then let's serve him only, the last strategy that I want to talk about. As human beings, we're seekers. We're made to be seekers. We're seeking that fulfillment. We're seeking that satisfaction. We're seeking to get those legitimate needs met. And we want to walk free from fear. That's what we've been seeking in this particular semester. And basically, the strategy of serving him only is basically this. It is giving him lordship, giving him our lordship and surrender, letting him be our Lord, and making a surrender every single day. That's that new wine song. That's the reason I keep singing it, because it just helps me to enter into a surrendered place. That's what I prayed. Someone told me. It's like appropriating surrender. It's to say, Jesus, would you give me your surrender? I can't drum it up on my own, but I need your help. Because he said, not my will, but thine be done. So I just pray that, Lord, would you give me that same heart that you have? And this is characteristic of his life, and this is just one example from the Bible. Many, many times he says this. John 5:30, he says, I can do nothing on my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. That right there is the fear breaker right there. Fear buster, number one. I didn't come to do my own will. I came to do the will of the one who sent me. And as I hear, I judge. I just wanted to take a quick minute to comment on judging. This came up in all of the prayer sessions in all of my personal prayer sessions, I'm saying this, God revealed to me one time that I had judged every person I'd ever met. And what that means is I'm opinionated. I'm pretty quick to size things up. And I came from a family of origin where criticism was normal. And my parents were very sweet, God-fearing people, but that nobody sent them the memo about that. And so that was just a something that a liability or that I came into life, you know, through nurture. And I think we as people tend to want to judge because as a man thinks, it says in Proverbs, so is he. So what happens is if we think, oh, I know what they meant by that. They were thinking so and so. That was bad. If we make a judgment based on just our own opinion, then probably what we're going to do is then we're going to act on that. We're going to treat that person differently because we thought that about them. We're going to react to that situation differently because we've judged it as bad. Y'all, we don't, God says, do not judge. Don't judge. He's the judge. We don't get to do that. And so just a little word to the wise there. A spirit of criticism, a spirit of judgment, you don't know what, you know, that person's been through. You don't know what deficits they brought to this life. You don't know what their temperament is. You don't know what their gift is. Likely you don't know a lot of things. So God is the only one that's omniscient. Let's don't play God by judging. It's just a trap. It gets us stuck. It leads us to conclusions that we just don't need to make, and I don't want y'all to have to go there. And so often we do it without realizing it, and that's the reason I'm mentioning it, because it just came up in so many of my prayer sessions. We had to say, oh, I judged that. Well, gosh, that was a judgment. Well, wow, I took that judgment and I made a vow out of it. If that's bad, then I'm never going to do so-and-so. Well, talking about leaving God out of the equation, I mean, we've just left him way behind. Where's God in that? So that's the reason for me mentioning judgment. And it does link in with this FOMO thing. Because when we have our own agenda, when we're trying to be self-satisfied, when we're trying to self-promote, when we're trying to have the world's way of doing things, there's a lot of judgment involved in that as well. Let me talk just a minute about biology and neurology. We're wired not only spiritually to be seekers, you know, we were made to be worshipers. So that's within our inner heart, spirit, man, spiritually speaking, but also biologically and neurologically, we're wired to be seekers. You've heard about dopamine. I've briefly mentioned it. It is a neurotransmitter, and it's tied to pleasure. We often hear it tied to pleasure, but what determines the release of dopamine? I'm not going to go into this big, long biochemistry lesson, but what I am going to tell you is that it is based on your seeking. It is based on your consumption and your intake. So if you're going after something that's pleasurable, and you ingest it or consume it, then that dopamine, there's a series of reactions that happens in your neurological system that releases dopamine, and you experience pleasure. But what we need to know about dopamine is this. It is short-term pleasure. And it requires more pleasure the next time in order to get that same amount of satisfaction if it's a temporary pleasure. And so that's called the opioid effect. You've heard about the opioid epidemic in our country. Well, this is what happens if you take opioid drugs, but it's the same with any drug of choice, and we all have them. And so I listed several on our list. Your drug of choice may not be a substance. It may not be food. It may not be drink. It may not be something, a drug. It may be an experience. Maybe it's consumer items that you're consuming. Well, if one dress is good, three are better. I'm going to go out Christmas shopping, and I can tell you what I've done in the past is like, okay, so this is going to be a big fat charge card for the month of December anyway, so one for you and three for me. You know, I'm just going to slide that right on in and just, oh, yeah, I didn't catch as many sales as last year, you know. So I'm just Those were temporary pleasures. Nobody's done that, I know. I just thought I'd confess my sins one to another. And here's the truth, y'all. That stuff doesn't satisfy for very long. That's the truth. That is just the gospel right there. And Jesus gave us some ammunition to fight that. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Lord, make it true of us that that would be our goal for the holiday season, that we would be doing God's will and not our own agenda. That our food, that our source of satisfaction would be that. Because, y'all, that really is the most satisfying. And then Jesus came so that we could be satisfied. Listen to this. He said this to the Father in John 17:13. And this is in the Amplified. Jesus, speaking to the Father, said, "I am coming to you, and I say these things while I'm still in the world so that my joy may be made full and complete and perfect in them, that they may experience my delight fulfilled in them, that my enjoyment may be perfected in their own souls, that they may have my gladness within them, filling their hearts." Now, how would y'all not rather have that?
Yes.
I mean, the dresses are good, but I think I'd rather have that joy and fulfillment that Jesus offers. So, you know, it helps us to know sometimes we buy the lie and the fear of FOMO, that, well, maybe we do have fear of FOMO, but anyway, fear of missing out would lie to us and tell us that God doesn't want, I mean, what I have in store for me, what I think is the best, is better than what God has. And that's just not true. God is for us more than we're for us, y'all. We are such big self-sabotagers, and we just don't even know it until after it's already over. So let's read a couple of verses about that. Psalm 56:9 says, "When I cry out to you, Lord, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me." This I know, that God is for me. So just, that's when I'd articulate until it goes all the way down and you believe that. And then going back to Ephesians 1, we've visited that so many times this semester. Let's remember that God, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You bring God great pleasure, the fact that you belong to him. And so I loved that when Jesus didn't fall prey to the values of the world, the reason he didn't do it is not because he wouldn't get in trouble. He didn't do it out of duty. He did it out of love. Listen to, this is another verse from John 17:23 from the Message. It says, the goal is for all of them, that's all of us, Christians, people in Christ, the goal is for all of them to become one heart and mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they might be one heart and mind with us. That's what we want, Lord. Make that true of us too. So I just wanted to, I'm going to give you a brief little testimony about FOMO, about what it looks like on me from my journal. I have a part-time job as a pharmacist in the retail setting, and I kind of had FOMO when I got call to go to work because I've got an older mom. I'm not sure how much time I've got with her, and so I kind of had fear of missing out on time with my mom. I had fear of missing out on the best remaining years of health and life and travel. You know, I could be doing all these fun things while I still, you know, I'm relatively young, but I'm going to be at work. And then I had FOMO about the things that I really am passionate about way more than pharmacy, and that's like prayer groups and Bible study, church work, fitness, spontaneous fun, like getting the text of, hey, we're all meeting at so-and-so, you want to go? People have even quit texting me for that because I'm either at work or at granny's house, you know. So I'm getting back on the list, people. Put me back on your spontaneous list. So then I started, in this recent season, I've been feeling the tug to this season may be coming to an end. And you remember we talked about fear of change, fear of the unknown, fear of the new. Add FOMO to that because I got every one of those about this. And I still haven't made this decision, but let me just write down what I put in my journal. I wrote the question, Lord, why am I so scared about leaving my job? And this is what my journaling revealed. It says, it's about independence and accountability. When you're working for them, you don't have to answer to anyone in your regular world. And I thought, whoa, that was good to know. You can just say, I'm at work or I'm working that day. Well, that's the free pass, isn't it? It buys you, quote, freedom. It also costs you so much. It costs you oneness with your husband. You're not truly entering in as a yoke fellow with him. You don't want that. Even though it's hard work, you want oneness. It costs you fellowship and intimacy in the friend category. You block and sabotage those kinds of connection by staying there. You won't let go, but you must let go. You cannot enter into new if you're holding on to old. Old independence based on judgment that is rooted in a lie of needing to be perfect from your distant past. Old self-promotion, old shame prevention. You can bind and renounce these things, or you can be bound and remove yourself from lots of bonding opportunities. And then I wrote, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And so the thing that I need to believe, and all of us in those places where we struggle with this fear of missing out or any of the fears that we face, is to believe that God's choice for us, his plan for us, his will for us, being in the center of that will, is the most, is the least stressful and fearful place there is. And the verse that goes with that, I think, that expresses it the best is Psalm 84:10. It says, a single day in your courts, Lord, is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. So let's close then. Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to be a human being so that we can know that our Savior has experienced every single fear and temptation that we've experienced. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for entering into our weakness and our vulnerability to fear and anxiety and stress and worry and doubt and every single variety of fear there is. Lord, we know you wanted to be satisfied. We know you were hungry and thirsty and you felt alone. And I'm sure you felt different and left out. But Lord, we thank you that you gave us the way, that you modeled the way. You stayed connected with the Father. You didn't do anything without consulting him. You didn't initiate any plan without hearing from him. You asked, Lord, you listened, and you were one with him. And Lord, you say in your word that you can look back on your travail and you were satisfied, that you were satisfied, that it was worth it what you did for us. And so, Lord, no matter what we're facing, those places of newness or those places of missing out or those places of whatever is triggering fear inside of us, Lord, we ask that you would give us courage to trust you. We ask that you would give us words from your scripture to give us a foundation to put our feet on, and Lord, we ask that you would just take your word, and that as we work to believe it, that you would drive it from just a place of merely knowing it in our heads, but Father, that you would cause it to be our experience as we walk with you by faith. Father, give us creative ways to follow through on our breakthroughs. Thank you for every one of them. And we trust you to be the one that's going to make it our experience, because we can't. Only you can, because you are able, Lord. You are able to make all grace abound to us. And so we just trust you with our holidays. We trust you with thankful hearts. We trust you with our families and our relationships and our travel, Lord. And we just ask you to bless all of that and bring yourself glory through it. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay, girlies, I think I did about 3 or 4 minutes better than last time. If you'll finish up your one thing and then do a quick and quiet exit to your group, we'll see you in January. And you better call me or text me before then.
When you refer to the message with all your members, do you only do that online or do you have any Bible?